From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Get back to work tomorrow. Hey, by the way, next holiday, it'll be Thanksgiving. It's coming up fast. Later tonight, Live to 400. Jay Widener joins us. Get ready for that. But here's what's happening. Hurricane Katia has now become a monstrous Category 4 storm as it moves across the Atlantic Ocean. On Monday night, Katia's maximum sustained winds increased to 135 miles an hour. Hurricane specialist Todd Kimberlane says it's looking less likely, though, that Katia will hit land, but that the wind from the storm could still affect the U.S. East Coast as it moves north. Mitch Batrus continuing to monitor this storm for us. Mitch, she's up to a 4. This one's a tough one, huh?
It is a tough one. And I just wrote an article earlier today related to the solar activity. It's really ramped up. And in that article, I said, watch Katia. It was already at a Cat 3. I said, watch Katia go to a Cat 4 within the last 24 hours. And sure enough, it has. I do believe there is a definite correlation. Or then again, it could be just a coincidence, right, George? That solar activity has really ramped up. There's 3M-class flares that have set off in just the last 26 hours. And some of them early enough for the charged particles, the base of those flares, to have hit the Earth's magnetic field and caused the wind shift, the shift in jet streams and ocean currents. So it's directly related in this season in particular to hurricanes. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it would be very unusual, but I would not be surprised if Katia could reach a Cat 5. And if that was to happen, I would expect it to happen within the next 36 hours.
All right, let's hope it doesn't hit inland, and let's hope these meteorologists are correct.
I don't think it's going to hit inland, George. It's very possible. I do have a picture of it up on my website, so you can see where it's tracking. But there's so many different things that can happen. One is those things can bounce around all over the place. Another is that it stalls and just pours torrential rains in those areas, unfortunately, in the same areas that have been swamped with floods. And then that could cross over into the fluid displacement that I often talk about related to earthquakes. So I'm thinking, George, maybe me and you next week might see if we can shave out 30, 40, 50 minutes, and let's see how all this is coming together.
Okay, let's hope we're not talking about another hurricane by that time too, Mitch, huh?
That's true.
Mitch Batrus, earthchangesmedia.com. The U.S. Postal Service does not have the money to meet obligations to a retiree health care trust fund coming due at the end of the month, but there's a default here, too, and officials are promising no interruption, though, in the mail, the payroll, or the payments to suppliers. However, some others are talking about the U.S. Postal Service shutting down for a period sometime in the winter, so we shall see. Honda announcing a worldwide recall of 936,000 cars to repair problems with power windows and computer equipment. Honda said no serious injuries or fatal accidents. They will recall Fit Compacts, CRVs, and city models in the U.S., Europe, and Japan. You got to take a look at the picture at our highlights reel at coasttocoastam.com. Villagers and veteran hunters have captured a one-ton saltwater crocodile, which they plan to make the star of a planned park in the southern Philippines. Dozens of villagers saw this thing. It was 21 feet long. It's a male crocodile. They saw it around a creek, and they were able to capture it and get it. Go take a look at the picture of it. Looks like it's out of a Hollywood movie. NASA gearing up for this week's launch of twin lunar orbiters, built to map the gravity of Earth's moon in an unprecedented detail. The Twin Grail lunar probes are slated to blast off from Florida's Cape Canaveral Air Force Station on Thursday. The two unmanned spacecraft should reach the moon around New Year's Eve. They're going to keep it around orbit here for a while, at which point they'll begin probing the moon's composition from crust to core. Now, how about this? There's a new thriller out concerning the alleged 18th Apollo mission to the moon. Listen to this.
This is Apollo Control.
Okay, 18, you're go for undock in 4 minutes. Have some fun. Remember, all work and no play. We're go for the moon.
Liberty has landed. Welcome to the moon, boys.
It's supposed to be an incredible movie. Some speculation on the part of its producers as to whether the footage that was used is real or not. The publisher of UFO Magazine, UFO Hunter, author, and also a partner with me in a series of books, Bill Burns with us here. Bill, there really wasn't an Apollo 18, right?
Well, I mean, the lore is this. First of all, there was an Apollo 18, there was an Apollo 19, and there was an Apollo 20. They were all missions that were on the books. They were crewed. Harrison Schmitt was a lunar command module slated to be an Apollo 18. Officially, they were retasked to Space Lab. And so they were taken off the books as lunar missions, and they became Space Lab missions. But there is lore, urban legend, that these missions really took place and that there were secret missions to the moon, to the dark side of the moon, because we knew, and there's a lot of incredible evidence about this, because we knew that there was some sort of strange anomalous presence on the dark side of the moon. John Schuessler from NASA mentioned this when he was on UFO Hunters. Donna Hare said from NASA that she had actually seen a photo processed by NASA of a spacecraft on the dark side of the moon that one of the photo processors, one of the image processors from NASA was airbrushing over, telling her, quite frankly, and NASA is not going to reveal photos with UFOs on them on the dark side of the moon. Then there's the story about someone who was in the Air Force who actually fixed a photo processing machine for the Air Force at a secret part of the base, a top secret part of the base. He didn't have classified clearance to go there, but he was the only maintenance guy in a weekend. And when he fixed the photo processing machine, and this was back in the 60s, suddenly all these photos came out with buildings on the dark side of the moon. So, I mean, you have all this kind of anomalous stuff and people that I trust saying this. And, yeah, I mean, we could well have some documented evidence that's been suppressed, obviously, of activity on the dark side of the moon.
What's your gut tell you, Bill?
My gut tells me there's something on the dark side of the moon. I mean, remember, NASA's report, I think R277, and this is available on the web. It's not classified. Anybody can get it. Go Google it. NASA's report of 500 years of anomalous lunar activity is sitting right up there on the web for anybody to see. Observers all the way from the playwright Christopher Marlowe, played by Ben Affleck in Shakespeare in Love, but Christopher Marlowe, the New England preacher, fire and brimstone preacher, Cotton Mather, who Joel Martin will tell you next month was actually a pretty rational guy who stopped the Salem witch trials. Mm-hmm. These people, back in the 1600s, actually saw lights over the surface of the moon, going all the way through the Nazis and the British. So something is up there. There have been plenty of books about it, structures on the moon. So my gut feeling tells me, yeah, I mean, if some extraterrestrial presence wanted to have a base on the moon, they would put it on the dark side of the moon, and they would basically, you know, why travel 8 million light years to get to Earth, set up a base on the moon and surveil the Earth from there, and good then kick point. Us off the moon when we try to get there and keep the moon for themselves.
Which is the premise of Apollo 18. Thanks, Bill. It's a great movie. I haven't seen it. I'm going to. Up next, Stephen Quayle. So many things going on this planet right now. I mean all kinds of things. Who better to put it in perspective? Stephen Quayle, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back this Labor Day. I'm George Norrie. You're listening to Coast AM Worldwide. Steve Quayle continues to be at the forefront and years ahead of the mainstream media with his concerns for loss of life, lack of civil defense and preparedness in both the private and public sectors. He continues to look at bioterrorism and investigates all kinds of things, and we turn to Steve during all these moments. Stephen, welcome back. How are you?
Doing well, George. Thanks for having me on tonight. And it seems like we're just in the September to remember, and someone has turned on the switch. And it seems like everything now is mounting and increasing in frequency. I was obviously listening to the previous guests waiting to come on. And I can say this, that the revelations that are going to come out by people who have just said enough is enough as our country spirals into a very economic, chaotic mode, it's not going to be by, as you said in your intro, by government consent. It's going to be, they're not going to be able to keep the lid on it. Everything is literally, pun intended, blowing up in their faces. And the entertainment that is mindless, that's trying to keep people from thinking, it's going to be, how should I say this, a non-issue very soon as more and more events come into the forefront. We're talking tonight about so many events. Right now as we're talking, there's 38 volcanoes active that are going off or having earthquakes that are sending tremors, initiating different movements of magma around the world. We're dealing with, obviously, all of the hurricanes and all of the different events and anomalies on the East Coast, as well as the fires in Texas. We're dealing with, obviously, places that have had earthquakes that seemingly come out of nowhere, the Virginia quake and the Colorado quake. And then, George, have you been paying attention to the strange sounds in Kiev and Colorado before the quake?
Well, and also, how about Windsor, Ontario, yes, across from Detroit? They're hearing strange hums too, Stephen.
Right. And what's fascinating to me about this is that in my book, Weather Wars, I talk about shockwave weapons. And shockwave weapons would be like, the thing you could liken it to would be thunder that would be on a cadence that would indicate that it's under control, manned control, or something control. And I think what's fascinating is in Kiev, they've tried to explain it around, away by saying, oh, it's just a water anomaly. But when we're seeing all these different sounds being identified, and some people have even gone and graphed them and are recording them and running them through sound analyzers, we're coming up with a pretty telling, I think, and compelling case that there is a lot of manipulation going on. It's really hard, George, and still is hard for most people to wrap their minds around the fact there is technology that can not only steer or direct hurricanes, but can initiate volcanoes and earthquakes. Two former Secretaries of Defense are on record as stating that, both Secretary of Defense Cohen. We've seen Zbigniew Brzezinski writing in his book Between Two Ages talking about it, where one nation makes war on another nation using new weapons that are unknown to the public, and then they blame God for everything. But I think it's fascinating, and still we're seeing now where there's overlap. And with the situation that's going on in the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, the Canary Islands, Cumbre Vieja, all of those earthquakes that are, and I would say, the most tenuous seismic zones are now starting to indicate we're in for some big, big trouble in the way of tsunamis. Obviously, there have been a few smaller tsunamis, but right now in the South Pacific and actually in Indonesia, a little further west, we're seeing Mount Tambora, which in 1815 was the largest volcanic explosion in history, coming active. And we're also seeing Anak Krakatoa, son of Krakatoa, 1883, and then 22 other volcanoes now have been put on alert status in Indonesia. And if we skip over to the Czech-German border, there have been 10,000 earthquakes, George, in 10 days.
Is the planet trying to tell us something, Stephen?
Well, I think that there are people that literally are out to set off worldwide chaos. And again, I take the position, as you know, that in order for the New World Order to come to power, they basically want to do away with the old world order. And so given the technology, and obviously there are reciprocal and ancillary effects that they can't even figure in, but as your guest was saying, the sun is what determines the weather on planet Earth. And you can argue all you want about greenhouse gases or basically bloated politicians belching, but the point is that we are now experiencing, I would say, the time of sorrows, where we're losing a lot of lives around the world. The famine that's I've talked about since you and I first started doing radio close to a decade ago, we're now seeing just the flooding taking out the Mississippi River Valley. And Holly Dale, by the way, just put up a new chart, and we're already at 100% of the earthquakes that we had last year and all the different magnitudes, and we're only 8 months into the year. So we're way ahead and things are ramping up. And, George, you know that people are talking behind the scenes. They know that there seems to be a systematic effort to downplay the earthquakes and especially their intensity. And we're now in the realm of lame excuses for everything. And a lame excuse will only go so long before the people get tired of hearing the nonsense.
Well, you know, and Jim Berkland, geologist, Stan Deo, of course, Mitch Batras, so many people, Stephen, think that big ones are still coming and coming soon.
Oh, I agree with them. And the thing that we're seeing is we're seeing now the magma pool that was never officially acknowledged, though known under the Cascade region of the Pacific Northwest being one of the largest. And by the way, in all those volcanoes I'm talking about, that doesn't take in the seamounts, for instance, the underwater volcanoes that are going off. And if you see the fact that Etna and Stromboli in Italy, obviously one thinks of Vesuvius in 79 AD. So the big ones are yet to come, and they are on the very near horizon. And I think that we're seeing, no pun intended on this statement, but we will see continent-shattering earthquakes, and especially dividing the landmass, so to speak. We've seen the Navy map, and obviously Gordon Michael Scallion's map, Sandeo's map. There are a lot of very, very intelligent people that have seen different maps, even put out by the intelligence agencies, and then taken down, scrubbed, or denied. But the point is that we're seeing now too many anomalies, especially on the New Madrid. We're seeing kind of a quiet time right now on the West Coast, which means that a lot of concern. I talked to Stan earlier, George, and he was saying, look at what's going on in the South Pacific and the Ring of Fire, and then compare it to the West Coast. South America's had its quakes, but we're due for the quote-unquote bigger ones coming to the West Coast very soon. And then we go into the realm of famine, and famine, the horrific, horrific detriment that the flooding in the Mississippi has done, coupled with the drought in Texas and Arizona. And it's my contention, George, that these fires are being set on purpose, and that it is if you will, America is under full-scale attack from the Illuminati.
Well, Stephen, you may be very right there, indeed. I want to talk with you about the world, what's going on there, the economy, and also when we come back after the break, October 21st, end times that some people seem to be jumping up and down. What's new with you, Stephen, these days?
Well, my new book, Angel Wars, has done really well. I'm getting that put into electronic format in the next 30 days, and I'm going to have it in for a lot of my visually impaired listeners, and yours too. We're going to have it on an audio format very soon. It's going to be narrated, and actually it's in the studio right now. But I think the thing that's really got me concerned is the economy of the world, and especially what's going on in Europe. As we're talking tonight, George, Europe is really taking a hit. Greenspan has said the euro is about toast, and obviously we're seeing right now Kotlikoff, Lawrence Kotlikoff, making the statement that the true debt of the United States is $211 trillion. Well, if you take the gross domestic product of the world at $55 trillion, in essence, we're 4 years of every dollar produced, and people are screaming for jobs, and rightly so. But I'd like to remind everybody that even Ross Perot was warning about NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, and GATT, General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs, years ago, and a lot of us on talk radio warned about it. But the jobs have already been moved overseas, and it's a sad day when, obviously, we have the housing crunch that's going on, we have the compression in savings that's going on, lack of savings, and it is my sadness and my statement that I have to make is it is like an intentional destruction of the middle class. Wall Street has benefited, and they are absolutely the giant vampire squid sucking the life out of the middle class. And now we've got a situation, as you know, we're even in the unions now. I mean, it's a sad day when Jimmy Hoffa Jr. says that, you know, it's on the front of Grudge that it's time to, you know, kick the you-know-what out of the bastards, meaning anybody that's a conservative. And I think what's sad is America has become so divided. You know, I love the word American. It doesn't have anything in front of it hyphenated. It doesn't have anything need to be put in parentheses. There is no such thing, or wasn't for a long time. And now when everybody wants to divide it up and make it this type of American, that type of American, and now you've got basically the ethnic, and when I say ethnos, that's nation in New Testament terminology. We've got nation rising against nation. We've got, obviously, the nation of Islam. We have all these different nations, and we're losing our homogeneity, and God forbid, but I see this, and I remember years ago you and I speaking on talk radio about the coming civil war, and you said, oh, you pray that's not true, and I said, I hope so too, but it appears that somebody wants to stir it up.
You got that right. Stephen, hold on for a second. We're going to hit the break, come back, talk about end times on Coast to Coast AM and phone calls next hour with Stephen Quayle. And our special guest, Split Show tonight for 2 hours, Stephen Quayle. We'll be back with more in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Stephen, some are saying October 21st of this year will be the beginning of end times. Of course, they thought it was going to be earlier this year in May, and they screwed that up. What do you think?
I think the events will determine the time versus a date determining the time. Now, obviously, we've got 9/11, the anniversary of that. A lot of people are seeing 11/11. I guess probably, George, 50 emails a week with people saying they can't shake 11/11. But I think what's happening is if you look at the financial market, I think it's a great barometer, and it's also a warning sign that would make the robot on Lost in Space seem like a little eager. That we've got now a situation where gold right now at this hour is up to its all-time high. Silver is up to approaching its previous high. And the rest of the world is coming apart at the seams. Out of WikiLeaks, did you see the story where the Chinese gold plan to acquire gold on the QT and not go into the open market and bid it up in price? To every time the United States government tries to knock the price down, the Chinese would go in and buy it up, and they're doing a marvelous job of accumulating gold. You know, I used to get people ragging on me all the time. Well, the Chinese will never be powerful enough to back their renminbi with gold. I got news for you. The great gold hoards in history are still in China. Kublai Khan, Genghis Khan, all of the different dynasties, the Ming Dynasty. The greatest civilization in the world wasn't known to export their gold all over the world. And I actually talked to a man who lives in China, one of the bigger gold dealers in China. He's an American citizen over there, but he said they've got caves, literally caves of the ancient gold. Now, again, it's important for people to understand that all the time the mainstream has been talking down gold, talking down silver, that obviously gold's gone up every month just about for 10 years straight. And the same thing with silver. And then every time someone brings it up, like I'll bring it up or whoever on your show, your sponsors, then you'll get the mainstream press out there saying it's in a bubble, it's in a bubble. No, the bubble is what has been paper markets plastered over the world with what are called mortgage debt securities, derivatives. And you and I show, I don't know, 7 years ago, I think it was, 6 or 7 years ago, I said the derivatives problem's $250 billion. Well, that's when the lying mouthpieces of the mainstream press were saying, oh, it's only, you know, a couple trillion at the most. Well, we're now up to $1.6 quadrillion. The point is, money, when it gets to be that much of a debt burden, can only be repudiated. And that means a new currency at some point in some form. So that brings in the whole on North American Free Trade Agreement and their new currency, which they're already proposing. You can go on YouTube and see the new currency called the Amero. And what's interesting, George, is every picture on the $100 bill, the $50 bill, the $20 bill is one of the international bankers or somebody that was involved with the Federal Reserve. So these guys know that once the arena gets too hot in one area, they just move to another. But the Chinese and the Middle East is calling the bluff on the metals manipulation in the United States. So my guess, you're going to see big time movement in gold and silver. And having said that, now for 17 years, it puts me into the category of the old guy talking about what's going to happen to the metals, but we haven't seen anything yet. $6,000 to $12,000 is not out of the question on gold. Silver, the newest ratios I've seen just on the old 10 to 1, obviously it'd be $600 silver. And what's going to happen, 1/3 of 1% of people in America own precious metals. When that moves into the 3% that was present during 1979, 1980, mm-hmm. you've got a factor of 10. So you can just multiply basically where we're at, because the demand will outstrip the supply, and then people will get into a bidding war. The Chinese and the rest of the world are buying up every commodity they can get their hands on. And now with America being bankrupt, it's conceivable that the Chinese or whoever has the money can go into our grain markets and literally buy every bushel of wheat that's farmed in the United States, or soybeans, you name it, they can buy it. And unfortunately, we have we have no stockpile of food to help our people when things get really tough.
No, that is so true, Steve. And you've looked at these things for years and you've been spot on. Is this a plot by the New World Order? So it's one, topple the United States,
yes.
and two, just to take over the rest of the planet.
Yes, and it's not just it's going to be global. It's going to be worldwide. And again, we're talking about, can you imagine, George, the United States had the U.S. dollar, which was a reserve currency around the world. And we used to be as good as gold. Obviously, we were taken off the gold standard.
Right.
But now our monetary base is almost a hissing. You know it's bad when even narco-terrorists want Swiss francs or euros or Chinese yuan or renminbi, and they don't want U.S. dollars anymore. I'm being told by the people that handle large amounts of greenbacks, and I'm talking palletfuls, that the discount ratio in overseas is up to 40%. In other words, if you take a million or take a billion, you're going to get 600 million. So the thing is that there's a great discounting going on, and it isn't orchestrated. And it's amazing, because immediately people say, well, I don't believe in that conspiracy stuff. Well, look it up as a definition, and they can't deny it. Because when two or three people get together and agree ahead of time to control or take an active part in a specific market and lock out others, you can fit the classic case of conspiracy. So what is the goal? The goal is to depopulate the planet. And obviously starvation works, and now the new movie that comes out, I think, on Friday called Contagion. Contagion is a more hyper-dimensional version of Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman, which, by the way, I love that movie. The thing is that it gave a heads up. And so now we've got the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and the U.S. military talking about zombie apocalypse, and they're claiming that that's the outbreak of a disease that they won't be able to find a cure for in time, and it will basically be one of the most dangerous situations. Now, if you take something like Ebola or any of the hemorrhagic fevers and you basically put it into what's called Burundanga dust, which is zombie dust, you could literally have walking people who are infectons, people who are absolutely being infected and infecting others. And what's tragic about that is that when they start floating terms like that, now everything zombie, the zombie economics, that word now has come into usage. And so I think when you see the mainstream press articulating that and incorporating that in everything they're saying, it's a big heads up. So this is a global plot. It's going to sink the whole world. The euro is just about toast. It will be toast. The United States dollar, I'm telling everybody who, this show obviously goes around the world, for those of you who are living overseas in other places, boy, be careful, because the thing that people are going to be furious at is when they're holding their savings in U.S. dollars and they're repudiated almost overnight. And even Vladimir Putin is making the statements that the U.S. dollar isn't worth the paper it's written on. That's not just a political or posturing. The rest of the world is starting to see that now. When Hugo Chavez basically repatriated all his gold back, 88 tons, he's a very, very sharp guy. Now, people say, do you agree with everything he's doing? No, I'm just telling you, financially, everybody's going into their corners, George, and the way they're going into their corners, they're taking great sums of money. I talked to a gentleman on the phone 2 weeks ago. He's got $7 billion worth of gold in his personal holdings.
Billion?
Billion with a B.
Well, and he's ready. He's ready for something, huh?
Yeah. And he said, look, we can't wait to get out of here, you know, and meaning the country. So,
I'm not leaving, and neither are you, Steven.
No, I'm not, but I'm just telling you this, that they are, because they are absolutely there to make it. They want to maintain their purchasing power, and they also want to maintain their life. There seems to be a great worry in the wealthier people, even a lot of the Goldman Sachs people. Obviously, Hank Paulson is not a man of the year in a lot of circles, and there seems to be a very deep concern that when the people start to riot and start to become angry, that they're going to go after those guys. And I think that that's part of the plan, too. The real power, George, is behind the scenes. Even the people we see and we think are the most powerful, they're just first-tier puppets. The invisible guys are the ones with the power.
Do you see a whip-around effect, Stephen, that eventually all these things that are bombarding us get turned around, get fixed, or is it going to be tough?
It's going to be tough. I wish it would. I want it to. I literally pray for it, too. But, you know, here's the thing, George. People are looking for a political solution to, I think, a spiritual problem. People are looking at trying to get the right man or woman, and I've become apolitical. Somebody said, well, who do you support? I said, none of the above. And again, the thing is, what do you support? And I say this, I support honesty and truth. And those are two of the most non-present factors in our government. We can't even get a straight answer. A good example, Fast and Furious, a gun running into Mexico. We've got American law enforcement officers being killed by weapons that came with the approval of the Justice Department to the narco-terrorist gangs. And all along, the administration was blaming gun dealers along the border. And the point is that that should have a full-scale congressional approval. In other words, not approval, but an investigation. And we've got a situation now where our own government is breaking the laws that they're sworn to uphold and defend. So when that happens, then we get into real trouble. And now there are rumors that some of the cartels, depending on which one, are getting a pass on cocaine trafficking. So I think the thing that most people recognize now is that there is big money controlling a lot of big events. So the war that's coming in the Middle East, and we got to get right to that, is that Syria was given an ultimatum, I believe, today by the White House. And the thing that's important to recognize is, like you said in your opening, it's like someone threw on the switch. First, yep. Egypt fell, okay? And then we're seeing all of, obviously, Libya, and we're seeing the nation after nation that was, quote-unquote, dictators now going into, if you will, almost a universal global Islamic rebellion. And again, the thing that most people don't understand is that when rebellions and revolutions take place, somebody's got to orchestrate all of the maneuvers, if you will, assignments and orders, and has to be responsible for the communication. So we are now there in the world of mainstream basically saying revolution's good. I wonder how that same mainstream press that's jumping up and down when Gaddafi gets thrown out is going to feel when it comes to the streets of America. And it's sad to say, that's what they want. It's just like they, meaning the Luciferians, the Illuminati, it's just like what's happened to Britain. And it's got to be not lost on the British people that their former prime minister sold all of Britain's gold at $275 an ounce years ago, and now it's 1800 or almost, actually 1908. And if you just put that into how much money they sold, that's how much they lost. You got to say, now, why would anybody do that? Well, the answer is that Gordon Brown did it to suppress the price of gold, and obviously he was one thing, and he became the leader of Britain for doing it. So there's a real fear that people are going to get into what's called sound money, and there's some very, very bright men out there that have been warning about this very period. And I think the standard of living, look, you can't tell the average American, especially the housewife who does most of the shopping, that goes to the store that things are getting cheaper. They're getting packages. They're getting maybe the same size, but there's less product in it. And then the genetically modified food, you know my take on genetically modified food. It's to genetically modify people. You are what you eat. And now we've got all of the cannibal genes, and I mean that literally, being introduced into the food sources around the world. And it is appalling to me that people can't figure it out. And I think the sounds that we're hearing in Kiev, all over, I think that is literally going to be probably one of the greatest missed signals to the time we're living in. Somebody asked me, is that the trumpets of Revelation? No, but I can tell you what, it's certainly the hoofbeats of a Middle East war, Ezekiel 38, not only coming to the Middle East, but coming to the United States. You asked me what I've been doing, George. I was in Kauai a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know that Barking Sands military base, the naval base, was the Pacific Missile Firing Range. And I was flying over. I was taking photographs of the. Mm-hmm. I got some really neat photographs of a helicopter. I love, you know, hanging out of helicopters taking photos.
I hope you're strapped in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they don't let you not strap in. But let's just say this. It's a good thing there's so many wonderful, good helicopter pilots. But the point that was interesting is that when I was over, around the first week in August. And what was interesting is that all of a sudden the thought came into my mind, this is ground zero. And that was when I was in the helicopter. A couple days later, I was on a Zodiac boat going up the Nepali coast from one of the small marinas on the west side of the island. And I, at the end, you're going to love this, at the end of the runway, I'm there at the exact minute that a P-3 Orion Subhunter is coming in. The captain of the Zodiac, a 24-footer with twin outboards, says, does anybody know what kind of a plane that is? And I said, I just obviously had to throw in my 2 cents worth. I said, yeah, that's a P-3 Orion. It's a Subhunter, and they're looking for Russian and Chinese subs. Well, not known to me at that time is Nathan Leal, a guy that's got a pretty intense prophetic ministry. He's getting a vision, and I didn't know this. He contacted me, and he didn't know I was over there, and I didn't know he was given a vision of basically a full-scale nuclear attack on the islands. That would be the head of the spear, okay? That's command, control, and communication. That's where all the space weapons and a lot of stuff is controlled out of Barking Sands. And, you know, he said that he got a number of people, and it was the entire population, less about 50,000. So it was a warning, I think a real warning, that we're going to be tried and put to the test. And even on Drudge, the story has been floating around a couple days ago, is China preparing for a nuclear preemptive attack on the United States? You see, when I quote that stuff, people say, oh, they're never going to do it. Well, the point that I think people have got to understand is our military has been so focused internally, making all of the citizens the, quote, enemy of the day, that they're missing the big point. And somebody said, are they, Steve, or is that part of the plan? I think that's a fair statement. But the real problem is that we are absolutely, I'd say, the sitting ducks. And in my way of thinking, sitting ducks become dead ducks.
Well, tomorrow on our program, Steve, Bob Gleason's joining us with his book, End of Days, where he talks about a strike like that on the mainland of the United States. And a lot of people are beginning to talk about that distinct possibility. And, you know, you got to be careful out there thinking that there isn't any countries out there that wouldn't want to attack. We've got some great assets here in this country, and they'd like to take over and knock out a few cities, wouldn't they?
Well, that's their plan, and I mean, if anybody would read the Chinese white papers, and, you know, talk about breaking news. I mean, here you have the situation where China has just announced that they have first-strike submarine-launched ballistic missile capability. And I remember a certain admiral making the statement that wouldn't happen for years. It's happening right before their eyes. The Chinese missile that was shot off of the other side of Catalina, and everybody said it was a Learjet, and blah, 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 except the missile guys that were on Navy ships that some contacted me and said that was a Chinese missile. You know, we're seeing, if you will, a new level of sophistication. And we're seeing, for instance, in the hurricanes that were happening on the West Coast, there are actually YouTube videos showing a triangular-shaped craft, which we've been talking about for years, TR-3Bs and TR-4Bs, and that they're actually firing beams at this thing to try and break it up. It's a fascinating story because, again, the mainstream is only concerned with who's getting married, how much does a wedding cost, and who's sleeping with who. And unfortunately, we've got a situation in this country now where we've got a divided country. We've got a divided military. I've gone on record as stating there are wars within our military branches. And by wars, I mean there are people killing each other. People say, I don't believe that. Well, of course. It's not a question of what anyone believes anymore. It's a question of will they do their homework. And again, when we're talking about the whole alien card that's going to be played, the government has withheld all of that information. It's leaked from time to time, obviously. You've interviewed a lot of people. Art's interviewed a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of those guys. I even talked to one of the guys that was supposed to get me the pictures of the dark side of the moon until his former buddies in the Central Intelligence Agency picked him up and took him off the streets of Florida. He had placed all of his photographs and stuff when he was with the agency in a storage thing, I think in Fort Lauderdale or someplace in one of those small towns, and not small towns, but one of the towns in Florida. So, you know, when you put all this stuff together, there is a definite plot or plan to keep the truth of the whole history of the world. That's why I write about it. The alien technology, everything that everyone's looking for in the realm of spies is anything that has to do with weaponry, alien technology, and how to open stargates and how to bring the stuff that was kept out by the gates back into our realm of existence. And that's why people are seeing so many paranormal experiences right now and experiencing some really strange stuff, new creatures that they're seeing, new aerial phenomenon, and again, the double sun. You can go on YouTube and see double suns. And how can that happen? It's not a reflection off of a camera lens. So we're seeing now, in my opinion, an escalation of what is going down in all realms. And it's heating up, and it's becoming almost excited like an atom bomb. And when it all goes off at once, I think people are going to be very, very surprised. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to lose their lives.
And we're going to come back with calls with Stephen Quayle next.